You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hello, Giants fans, and welcome to a new edition of the Valentine's Views podcast here on Big Blue View Radio, part of the SB Nation family of podcasts. As we record this show, it's Tuesday, basically 2 days away from the official start of Giants 2019 training camp. And here to help us break down what we might expect to see during training camp is Patricia Traina, good friend of Big Blue View, who works for us, does work for Forbes, has her own podcast, Locked on Giants, and can be found in several other places as well. Patty, it's football time.
Yes, finally. Oh my gosh. You know, as much as I like the break between, the mini camps and the start of training camp, after a couple weeks, you start to go stir crazy. So here we are, and let's get it going.
And of course, we're entering training camp. We're a couple days away, and of course, this week we get hit with another Odell Beckham story. That let's just touch on that real quickly before we get into the training camp stuff. I'm just shaking my head, Patty, because the man can't let it go, and the more he talks, the more you realize, from my perspective, that Dave Gettleman had to move on from him. The Giants had to move on from him. And you wish it hadn't come to that. But the more he talks, you realize that, to me anyway, a divorce had to happen.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen anything like this, certainly not recently, with a player that the Giants had moved on from. Most guys, they take the high road and they go and they start a new life, and everybody wishes each other well, and that's the end of it. But it just seems like Odell can't help himself. And in the GQ article, which magazines hit the stands today, I believe, if you're looking to pick up that issue. Odell even said, I believe, and I'm paraphrasing, that he wasn't happy and he was, looking to move on anyway. And it's almost like, it reminds me of a busted relationship where, you get dumped and then you turn around and you say, well, I was going to dump that guy anyway because, he was this and he wasn't that. And, the bottom line is, the Giants made a business decision. Odell can sit there and say all he wants that he's happy in Cleveland and whatnot, but actions speak louder than words. And the fact that, he keeps bringing this up and can't seem to get it off his mind, that's not healthy. And how can you grow and move forward if you're still clinging to the past?
Oh, Patty, for me, every time Odell speaks, it seems like a therapy session. It seems like he's sitting on the shrink's couch and just looking for some sort of an emotional breakthrough or therapy or something, and it gets a little bit tiresome.
Yeah, it really does. I mean, and unfortunately, fans say, well, why are you guys covering it? He's no longer a Giant. What you guys need to understand is every time the name Giants gets dragged into it, it does become a Giant story. Whether we want it or not, it does become a Giant story. And, if Odell goes and he talks about, playing with Baker Mayfield. Okay, who cares about that? We as writers, giant beat writers, we don't care about that. But when he starts taking shots at you know, his former team, which happens to be the team we cover, unfortunately, then we are you know, obligated to report on that by our bosses. So, you know, look, I don't want to talk about a former Giant, you know, seemingly every week or every couple of weeks. I'd rather focus on the current team. But right now, unfortunately, Odell's inability to let it go, it's become a little bit of a story, and it's a tiresome story. And hopefully, once football and training camps start, he'll be able to focus and not keep having the Giants' name on his lips.
Patty, let's move on from Odell and let's actually talk about the New York Giants and talk about training camp. The whole offseason, the decisions made by Dave Gettleman, all of that controversial decisions, unpopular ones in many ways, what a lot of people saw as head scratchers. All of that, to be honest, over the course of the offseason has been kind of tiresome to talk about. And that's not really where I want to go at this point. But as we enter training camp, I look at it, and am I the only one who I don't think this Giants team is a championship contending team. I don't think they're going to make a deep playoff run. But am I the only one who is a little bit more optimistic than many of the naysayers about this team and about the direction of this team, at least as we begin a new season?
I don't think so, Ed. I mean, you got to look at baby steps for this team. You know, look, it took years for this team to fall into the sewer. It's going to take years for it to come back. I mean, very rarely does a team go from worst to first. I mean, it's such a challenge. But, you know, look, you can look at last year and you can say that they came close, and if it weren't for a call here or this and that there, they might have had a better record than what they had. They might have gone 8-8 instead of, you know, 5-11. But I think, you know, the Giants, Dave Gettleman, Pat Shurmur, they have built a locker room that they feel is conducive to winning, and they are optimistic about it. And now, you know, it is up to the coaching staff to, you know, design schemes and plays and whatnot and put these players in a position to, you know, capitalize on their talent. So I am with you. I think there is reason to be optimistic in terms of making baby steps forward. I don't see this team necessarily sliding back unless they get ransacked by injuries, but I'm with you. I don't think this is a team that, you know, is going to go deep in the playoffs if it should qualify. And I think, you know, I think they have an outside chance of being a wild card, but, you know, I just don't think they're ready to make a run.
Patty, I was thinking, and I did a post for Big Blue View that will actually hit a little bit later today as we record this on Tuesday morning. And the focus of that piece is basically on progress for the 2019 Giants. Gettleman and Pat Shurmur talked about building, they talked about going from 3 wins to 5 wins and all of the close losses. And for me, I have a hard time saying, okay, the Giants have to hit X number of victories to make progress. And that's for a couple of reasons. That's because of the potential for an Eli Manning, Daniel Jones transition. And that's also because there's so much youth and so many new players on defense. Is there, I mean, how would you define what progress for this team? What might progress look like? Is it a number of wins, or is it something other than that that you might look for?
There's a couple of things. I mean, ultimately, you're right. Wins are going to be the definitive measuring stick. But I think the other thing you have to look at is how many plays did they not make last year that they're now making this year? Are they better against the run? Are they able to get more pressure on the quarterback? Are they able to connect on more, you know, I don't know, deep passes? Are they able to get more yards after contact? You know, there are little statistical things that you can say, okay, you know what? The offensive line was indeed better because, you know, they allowed X number of pressures this year versus last year. So there are little tiny things you can look at, and those things will start to add up. But ultimately, you're right. Again, wins and losses is the measuring stick that people are going to look at and say, you know, this team has progressed or this team has regressed.
And I think we have probably talked about this before, but entering training camp, I think the defense, to me, is actually a bigger question than the offense, simply because there's so many moving parts. There's so many players on that defense who have never played an NFL snap, and you have guys like Jabril Peppers and Dalvin Tomlinson who are third-year guys who are among the most experienced players on that defense. So do you agree with me that I think there are more questions at this point surrounding the defense than the offense?
I think so. There's a lot of inexperience. You know, the Giants made a conscious effort to bring in former Cardinal players or guys that, you know, James Betcher and or Dave Gettleman were familiar with in order to bring that defense along. But you're right. I mean, the defense was a problem last year. It did not live up to expectations. They did not get their value that they invested in the unit. And, you know, Gettleman, in cleaning it out, said, look, I lost with these guys. I can lose without them and save some money. So, you know, I just think that it's, you know, the defense – The key with defenses is they have to come together, they have to gel. And if you think back to some of the better Giant defenses over the course of the franchise's history, first couple weeks, first 3 weeks or so in the season, it took time for the unit to come together. But when it did, oftentimes it was spectacular. I mean, I'm thinking of 2007. I'm thinking of, you know, in the 80s, there was a stretch where the, I think it was 86, where that defense initially needed to get started. So again, as with anything, you have to have patience. You have to let this take root. It's kind of like they planted some seeds, and these seeds are now starting to take root. And once they grow and blossom, it should be a pretty sight to watch.
Patty, let's take a quick break for a word from our sponsors here. Then we'll come back and we'll talk about some of the camp position battles, perhaps some of the players that you might be most interested in watching, you know, during the upcoming training camp practices.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Support for this podcast comes from Smartwater. Life moves pretty fast. Are you drinking water that can keep up? Smartwater Alkaline has everything you need to stay hydrated, no matter where your day takes you. Whether you're pitching a tent or your next big idea, Smartwater Alkaline can help you perform your best. It delivers a pure, crisp taste that makes it the perfect chaser after a big workout. Elevate how you hydrate and pick up a Smartwater Alkaline today. To learn more, visit drinksmartwater.com.
Okay, Giants fans, we're back here on the Valentine's Views podcast. I'm your host, Ed Valentine, and we're talking with Patricia Traina as we preview the 2019 New York Giants training camp. Patty, let's turn to some of the players that you're most interested in watching as we approach training camp. Before the break, we were talking about defense. So let's start there. Give me a couple of the players that you might really, really be interested in watching during training camp. You know, I'll just start quickly by saying for me, I'm really interested in watching the development of DeAndre Baker, and I'm really interested in seeing how the Giants plan to utilize Jabril Peppers.
Yeah, those are two definitely that I'm interested in seeing, but I'm going to add Dexter Lawrence because it all starts up front, and you'll hear me say this a lot, Ed. If you don't win the battle in the pit, you're not going to win the game. You have to beat the guys in front of you in that pit. So Dexter Lawrence, they brought him in, a big body kid who, you know, they're hoping can help take up multiple blockers as a plugger and take away some of those escape hatches that quarterbacks in the past have been able to exploit by, you know, darting up the middle as the edges close in around them. So that's a rookie I'm looking forward to seeing. And the versatility on that defensive line, because like I said before, they have so much youth on this defense and especially on that defensive line. So how's it all going to shake out? Who's going to line up where and how's it all going to kind of function? So that's probably number one for me. Now, number two, obviously, the cornerbacks. A lot of youth at cornerback. You've got Julian Love versus Grant Haley at the nickelback. You've got DeAndre Baker and Sam Beal competing for a starting job. And then you got to figure out where Corey Ballantyne is going to fit in that mix. So I'm looking forward to seeing those three. And Sam Beal, you know, we'll throw him in there, even though he's technically a second-year player. You know, I think there's going to be some good competition in that defensive backfield. Jabril Peppers, you know, you mentioned him. We kind of got a little taste of what he brings to the table. And we saw him, you know, working with Antoine Bethea. And you know, one of the things that really impressed me in the spring is I don't think I saw any busted coverages when the two of them were on the field. So that was certainly a promising development. For me, the biggest concern is that linebacker. I mean, I feel like we've been saying this year after year after year, but, you know, you have question marks on the edge. You know, you have two young guys in O'Shane Zimenez and Lorenzo Carter, who's in his second year. Is Marcus Golden going to be back to his pre-injury self? They're counting on that happening. And then on the inside, you know, Alec Ogletree and B.J. Goodson are the incumbents, although Ty Davis is starting to push for some playing time at Goodson's spot. So how is that all going to shake out? And is that unit going to be better or different? And that to me is probably the biggest thing if you're looking at question marks and what to watch for, that would be one of the areas I would say to keep an eye on.
Patty, one thing you talked about, you mentioned Dexter Lawrence, and I have been talking with, you know, folks at Big Blue View and on Twitter, and I keep getting questions about Dexter Lawrence and about why it appears that, you know, throughout the spring, the Giants used him an awful lot at what you would call a defensive end spot in the 3-4 rather than at the nose, which I think would have been the expectation, using Dalvin Tomlinson at the nose and putting Lawrence, you know, more at I guess what you would call a 4-tech or a 5-tech lined up against a guard or a tackle. Are you confused by that, or do you understand it? You know, personally, I see the reason for it. I see what the Giants are trying to do. Do you have a problem with Lawrence not playing the nose?
No, not at all. I think what they're trying to do is they're trying to make those guys as versatile as possible so that they can mix and match depending on the situation. And you want to line your guys up. You want to be able to go into a game and say, okay, you know what? Dexter Lawrence, you know, and I'm just using this as an example here. Dexter Lawrence is my best, you know, pass rusher up front. So do I want to line him up over the guard? Do I want to line him up in between the guard and the tackle? Or do I want to line him up right over the center? Where is the weak link on that offensive line where I can take advantage of Dexter Lawrence's ability to rush the passer? So in order to do that, you have to give him, you know, snaps at different positions, and in the process, see where he's going to be your best fit in your base and where he's going to be your best fit, you know, in the different situations. So no, I have absolutely no problems with them, you know, not pigeonholing a young guy into one spot.
Patty, let's turn our attention to the offense. And pretty much, to be honest, we're going to kind of table Eli Manning and Daniel Jones for the moment. But let's talk about some of the other maybe position battles or players. Let's focus on players who you're really interested in seeing on the offensive side of the ball as we get started with training camp.
I think one of the most underrated battles is backup running back. Who's going to be the number two guy behind Saquon Barkley? Now, you know, last year it was Wayne Gallman, kind of, you know, after Jonathan Stewart, you know, kind of fizzled out with the injury. This year they brought in Rod Smith, former Cowboy, who can play a little bit of fullback, by the way. They have Gallman back. Paul Perkins is in the mix, and he looked pretty good in the spring. They have this rookie, John Hilliam, who played 1 year with Rutgers and I think 3 years with Boston College. So who among them is going to be the number two guy behind Barkley? And that's an important I think that's an important battle to watch, because Barkley, as much as you want him on the field for every snap, I don't think that's practical, and I don't think that's going to happen. Occasionally, he's going to need, you know, he's going to need a breather. And plus, you don't want to wear him out. I know that sounds weird, but, you know, you got to give those running backs a breather every so often. So it's important that whoever the number two guy is that he's good with ball security, which Wayne Gallman had some problems with last year. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. He can be a third down blocker if need be. And most importantly, he can push through the pile and gain those tough yards.
Patty, before we get to some of the other guys you might be interested in looking at, I was looking at Wayne Gallman in the running back situation the other day, and I've heard you say in the past, as we've stood there and watched practices, that you really like the way Wayne Gallman runs, and I can understand that. And Gallman has skills that I would think Pat Shurmur would be attracted to, because he's, you know, he's a capable running back. He's capable out of the backfield. But I totaled it the other day, and I have a hard time getting past 5 fumbles in 210 career touches. And I think that ball security is the thing that might cost Wayne Gallman a roster spot.
Yeah, and I'm with you on that. And I've written that as well. I mean, I think Wayne Gallman, his skill set is, you know, it's a perfect fit for what they're doing. But if you don't hold on to the ball, if you don't protect the ball, guess what? It doesn't matter. You could be the most skilled player at your position. The coach is probably not going to trust you, and you're probably not going to have a job. And that's the one thing to me that worries me about Wayne Gallman and his chances of sticking around on this roster, is the ball security issues. And some of them, if you go and you look at them on tape, some of them just shouldn't happen. I mean, it's almost like, I don't want to say laziness, but when you're in traffic, you want to protect that ball with your second hand, and to not do that, I just don't understand why. You know, maybe it's instinctive. I don't know. Maybe it's a matter of comfort, but it worries me when I see that, and I sit there and I hold my breath sometimes when Wayne Gallman is in traffic, because I'm thinking, oh my God, he's not protecting the ball. He better hope that doesn't come out.
So, yeah, I agree with you on Gallman. I mean, that is the thing that's the primary issue with him. And we'll see if it ends up costing him a roster spot. Before we move on, any other, you know, roster battles or players in particular that you're really looking forward to watching on offense during training camp?
Well, yeah, I'm going to start with receiver. I'm going to say I'm curious to see who amongst Corey Coleman, Darius Slayton, Russell Shepard, Benny Fowler, and I know I'm missing somebody. Cody Latimer is the other guy I think I'm missing. I'm curious to see how that shakes out behind Golden Tate and Sterling Shepard. Now, my feeling is the Giants aren't going to officially anoint a third receiver. They didn't do it last year. I suspect they're not going to do it this year. My gut feeling is the Giants, you know, when it comes to the offense and who they're going to feature every week, it's going to depend on the opponent and the game plan. Kind of like what our friends up north in New England do. But still, you know, there's a matter of roster spots. Now, I would think Russell Shepard, you know, because he's a core special team player, he's going to make it. Corey Coleman is intriguing to me because, you know, that battle with Darius Slayton, the Giants right now don't have a guy or an established guy who can take the top off of a defense. You know, they traded that guy away to Cleveland. So I'm just curious to see if, you know, that's a priority. And if so, which of those two step up and become that guy that, you know, gets targeted frequently on those deep passes. I'm also curious to see on the offensive line, you know, I don't think there's really that much of a battle at center. I think ultimately it's going to be John Halapio's job and that Spencer Pulley is going to be the first guy off the bench, you know, if there's an injury at guard or tackle. I'm curious to see how Mike Remmers is, you know, because back injuries and back surgery, they do worry me. Backs can be very tricky and you hope that the guy's okay and is able to play. So I'm curious to see that. And then I'm curious to see how the depth shapes up on the offensive line, because right now, if I were to ask anybody out there and say, okay, who are the backups at each position, you probably would get different answers. And, you know, I just don't think that is as settled as it should be.
Patty, I would agree with you on most of those. I think that Remmers is really interesting to me. I think if he's healthy, he's the guy at right tackle. But we'll see how that goes. I think that if you look long term, I think people consider the offensive line quote unquote fixed at this point. I hate to use that word. I think that long term, it's a position the Giants have to continue to try to address. And it wouldn't surprise me if at least one, maybe two of the guys who wind up being reserves on this offensive line are opening training camp on someone else's roster.
Yeah, that wouldn't surprise me either. Remember, you know, it's interesting. Last year, just to refresh everybody's memory, the Giants went into training camp with Brett Jones at center, having signed a big, you know, a one-year restricted free agent tender, which was for a few million. And then John Halapio, who was, I think, on an exclusive rights tender, which was, you know, far less money-wise. And what happened? Halapio beat out Brett Jones, and they were able to flip him in a trade to the Vikings for a seventh-round draft pick. Well, this year you have Spencer Pulley, who signed, you know, I think it's a two-year contract. I forget what the dollar value is, but it's worth a few million. I think it's worth a couple million. And you've got Halapio again back on an exclusive rights free agent contract. So if Halapio does indeed win the starting center position, and if this kid James O'Hagan, who is a guy that I'm keeping an eye on, he's one of the undrafted free agents who caught my eye and when he was going through the offensive line drills, and somebody who I'm curious to see if he can play. And you know, because he could also long snap too. So I'm kind of thinking down the line. But if that kid can, you know, can beat out Evan Brown, now maybe you say to yourself, okay, maybe I try and flip Spencer Pulley to a team that needs a center in return for a seventh round pick. Because remember, Dave Gettleman likes to collect draft picks so that he can move around. And he's already going to have, I think, two extra draft picks in the, you know, comp picks in next year's draft. But the more you can get, especially those seventh rounders, they're, you know, you might say, oh, big deal, they're only seventh rounders, but they can be very valuable bargaining chips when you're trying to move around. So that's why the center battle to me is going to be interesting to see how that plays out.
Patty, it all begins on Thursday. As we record, Giants rookies are already going through their first practice, if not perhaps already having concluded their first practice. Veterans report on Wednesday. The first practice is Thursday afternoon. You and I will both be in attendance. Hopefully we'll have some good weather. Nice day for the fans to get out and see their Giants on the practice field. And finally, as we said at the top of the show, finally some real football.
Yes, indeed. Finally, can't wait. Looking forward to getting out there. And those of you who are listening, you know, say hello. Ed and I will probably, you know, be standing together a couple times during the course of a practice. And even if you just wave, we'll wave back.
Yeah, I'll be the guy with the big floppy safari looking sun hat on. So yeah, so you should be able to find me out there.
Yeah, and I'll be I'll be right next to you with the big floppy safari hat on. I mean, the sun is not our friends, folks. And so there'll be Ed and I, you know, the two pastiest looking people that you're ever going to see.
Speak for yourself. I've got a nice summer tan working. Come on. You know,
for an Italian, I can't tan worth a dime. I mean, I go out in the sun for 5 minutes and I turn red like a lobster. It's just, that's one thing I didn't inherit from my Italian ancestors. It's unfortunate, but it is what it is.
All right, Giants fans, with that piece of information in your back pocket for training camp, hopefully we'll see you out there sometime during one of the open practices. Giants fans, we thank you very much for listening. Please remember to subscribe to the Valentine's Views podcast on all of your favorite podcast applications. Thank you, and we'll talk to you again soon. Bye-bye.